In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we heard the parable of the soils, the seed and the sower, which is very familiar, I think, to most or all of us. But it contains such a profound lesson for us to contemplate year after year and to revisit so that we don't take for granted the Word of God that comes to us. The Lord tells this parable, and all of his parables are metaphors that are rooted in everyday experience, especially for the people that he was addressing in first century Israel. Many of them were farmers, and most of them were connected in some way to agriculture. So they could all very well understand this metaphor of seed being cast into the soil by a farmer. And the seed, a seed contains the DNA for the plant. It contains the blueprint for the life that is to come out of it. But when you look at the seed, it's just like a little, almost looks like a pebble. It doesn't look like a plant. Yet it has all of the information that's needed in order to grow this great plant. And the Word of God, specifically the Word of the Gospel, is like that as it comes to us. It has everything that's necessary for new life in Christ. It has the blueprint of resurrected life, which Christ has come to give us. And Christ himself is that farmer, that sower, who casts the seed into the world, and he casts it everywhere, indiscriminately. Right? The message of the gospel has come to all mankind, not just to certain select people, but to all mankind. It comes to all mankind, and yet it has a different result based on the soil that it reaches. The condition of that soil that it reaches. And the soils, the different kinds of soils, the different qualities or conditions of soil that the seed encounters, these represent qualities, conditions of the human heart that is encountered by the word of the gospel. Now, before we continue to meditate on these soils, step back a moment, and if you remember, the Lord first, in today's gospel reading, the Lord first simply told this story to the crowds that were gathered around him. He just told the story without explaining it about this sower that goes and sows seed. But then later, his disciples come to him and they ask him, what's the meaning of this? And he responds first and says, to you it is given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to others it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now this sounds a little bit exclusive, right? Like Christ has only chosen certain people to understand the gospel. But that's not the lesson that we should take from this. First of all, what does it mean when he says, hearing they may not hear and seeing they may not understand? What he means is that the possibility is preserved that they can either understand or not understand. That they can either hear and comprehend or hear and not comprehend. That their freedom is intact, because what is necessary to understand is to be one of those disciples who comes to Jesus and says, I don't understand, explain it to me. Right? So anyone in the crowd could have come as part of that group of disciples and asked, what is the meaning of this? Help us to understand. but it requires a receptivity, right? It requires an interest. It requires an inclination of the heart in order to take hold of the word and take advantage of the word so that it bears fruit. And that is exactly actually what this parable teaches. That the word of the gospel doesn't come and sort of invade our bodies like a virus and take over whether we want it there or not. Instead, it comes as a seed, and the condition of the soil determines whether that seed will take root and grow and bear fruit. So there are four different kinds of soil that the seed encounters, four different kinds of or conditions of heart that the Word of God, the Word of the Gospel encounters. One is the path. The path. The path where Jesus says that the seed comes and it just lays on top of the path. It lays on top of the ground because it can't penetrate and get underneath into the soil. The path is where people have walked and carts have gone and animals have walked, and it's so compacted and so hard that the seed cannot enter in, and therefore it just lays there. It isn't able to put down roots. It isn't able to grow, and eventually the birds of the air come and just eat it. This is like hearts that are hardened to the Word of God. Hearts that are hardened to the Word of God so that they won't even consider it. People who are so closed to the gospel that it doesn't even, that they aren't even willing to give it thought and consideration. People are closed off to the gospel for different reasons, but mostly they fall into two different groups. One, those who are complacent towards the gospel. Complacent because they're so comfortable in their life as it is now that they don't want to make room for something that can change that status quo that they're comfortable with. Then there are also those who are closed off to the gospel willfully and rebelliously because in their pride they are set on their own ideology, their own ideas, their own, possibly their own lifestyle, and so they refuse to believe or to even consider the gospel because it conflicts with their pride. So, hearts that are hard resist the gospel so that it doesn't even enter into their heart to contemplate it and to consider it. And the devil, who's represented by those birds, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, and so it does them no good. The second kind of soil is the rocky soil. This is soil where there's a level of dirt, but then underneath there are rocks that are hidden underground. So that when the seed comes and encounters it, first it's able to start growing, but eventually its roots encounter those rocks and it's not able to put down deep roots. And that means that when the sun comes out and beats down in the middle of the summer on that plant, it's not able to draw the deep water in order to keep itself alive and thriving, and so it withers when the sun beats down upon it. And Christ explains that these are souls, he says, that initially receive the gospel with great joy, and yet when time of persecution comes, they wither away because they don't have deep roots of faith. But what are those rocks underneath the soil? Well, this soil represents hearts that are initially receptive on kind of a shallow level to the gospel, and yet underneath there are certain parts of that person's life that they're unwilling to let the gospel into. They're unwilling to let Christ have a say in those parts of their lives. And so those are like rocks that block the roots of the gospel from going down deep into the heart and connecting with a person's whole being. And the eventual reality is that because the person has not let the gospel into every corner of their life, when persecution comes, the Lord says in time of temptation, as the translation, but that word temptation has different meanings. It can also mean trial or difficulty. When times are hard, that person doesn't have deep roots of faith, and so the faith withers away within them and doesn't bear fruit. The third type of soil is soil that is free of rocks. The seed is able to come and to enter into it and to put down roots and to grow, and yet there are weeds growing up all around it. And those weeds are competing with the plant for moisture and for nutrients. And so the plant is not able to take up the materials it needs in order to bear fruit. Its fruit does not come to maturity. And this represents, our Lord says, those who receive the word, but because of cares and riches and pleasures, the word is not able to bear fruit in them. Because these hearts are not just open to the gospel, but they're open to everything of this world. And while they're willing to consider the teachings of Christ, their attention is divided and distracted amongst the things of the world, cares and riches and pleasures. And therefore, the word of God is not able to fill their whole being and so bear fruit. But then finally, the fourth kind of soil is soil that's free of weeds, free of rocks, and there the seed is able to grow and bear fruit a hundredfold, a rich harvest. And that harvest that is generated by the word of God is righteousness and holiness in our lives. Righteousness and holiness, and specifically love. Love for God and love for our fellow man. True and selfless love. So, the point of this gospel is for us to reflect on our hearts. To reflect on our hearts. And to ask ourselves, first of all, are we open to the gospel and specifically to the demands of the gospel that the gospel places on us? Are we open to letting the gospel fill our whole being? Put down deep roots in our lives? Or are there parts of our lives that we are keeping out of Christ's reach? Are we dividing our attention between the gospel and the things of this world, and so letting those worldly things sap the strength of our heart away and keep it from being invested in the gospel? And if we're honest with ourselves, we have those kind of problems with the soil of our hearts. You know, this isn't a black and white distinction especially between soils 2 and 3 and 4. We're all somewhere in between. If we're in church today, we're all somewhere in between soil 1 and soil 4. Somewhere in between the path and the cleared and perfect soil. And after reflecting on our lives and identifying those areas that are keeping us from being fruitful in Christ, let us, brothers and sisters, take advantage of the tools that the church gives us for cultivating the soil of our hearts. Prayer, regular and daily prayer. Fasting. I mean, fasting is definitely like a plow going through the soil of our hearts, loosening it up to receive God's word. reading the scriptures and putting them into practice, taking confession. I mean, I could go on and on, attending church, of course, as you are now, and participating in all of the sacraments. Let us today come to a new resolve to allow God's word to have pride of place in the soil of our hearts, consuming our whole being, and so bearing fruit throughout our lives. To the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.